The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and you.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Lose.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Otto, and it's a pleasure. It seemed like this is a quick turnaround for you.
I don't remember.
It was only a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, I miss you, Otto.
We had a good time.
Any Friday without Otto is like a day without sunshine.
Yeah, we had a good time. I like being here, really. It's fun.
I know you do. I love it together.
And informative.
It always is. And this morning is going to be a very good one because we have Danielle Ezzo. And Danielle is the Associate Clinical Professor at St. John's University College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences. And she's going to be answering questions in reference to Medicare Part D and medication management. And the important thing about this is so confusing, I don't even know what questions to ask. Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning. Thank you for having me this morning.
Give us a breakdown or a little synopsis or whatever the word would be in reference to people on Medicare.
Okay.
What they should be looking at, because I know we're going to be ending. No, it starts soon.
It started this week.
Yep.
Oh, it starts this week.
October 15th. Yep.
And it goes
exactly into
December.
December 7th.
Okay.
Right. So specifically with Medicare, there's a few parts, right? There's your the ABCs of Medicare. But specifically for medications, it's Part D. So Medicare Part D handles the coverage of your medications that you're on. So essentially each year, people should be looking at their plans in regards to their medications to make sure that their plan for the following year, so right now we're looking at 2020 plans, are going to be good coverage for them.
Okay.
So people need to look at, you know, if they've had changes. They could have had no changes, but their plan might change. So it's important to make an evaluation of your drug plan at the end of each year, looking forward to the next
Everybody
year.
Everybody is required. You're right, because maybe nothing changed,
right,
but the plan you're on has dropped
exactly
every drug you're taking.
Exactly. And
so all of
happen
a sudden, come next year, nothing's covered,
yep,
but now it's your fault.
Yep. So if you do nothing, you could wind up in a plan. You could have loved your plan this year. If you do nothing, the plan could have changed so much that it's just not the right plan, and
right,
you can spend more than you were thinking you were going to spend.
Looking at are the magic words.
Yeah, right, well, exactly.
How do you look at, you know, what your plan is? And I'm in the process personally of pondering doing that.
Right.
I haven't, you know, put the energy together yet to do it.
Right.
But what's your suggestion in terms of the best way to look at, you
that's
know,
a really good question.
Where
Otto
you stand.
This is a really good question. So the plan that you're currently in should be sending you a package of what they will cover for the following year.
Right.
You got it right in front of you.
Right.
So at the very least, you should be looking at that. I find that many patients often miss that in their mail. So please look out for that at the very least. But also Medicare's website, which is medicare.gov, has a plan finder. Now, I'm saying this, but the plan finder is a little cumbersome, so you probably need some guidance. So calling Medicare, it's probably going to be a long phone call to get somebody on the phone, but they do have people that will help assist finding a plan that's going to suit your needs for the following year. There are lots of community programs. I know myself, I do a lot of those community programs where as a pharmacist, I'll sit with the patient, I'll take their medications and plug them into the plan finder. And look, yep, you got those dates right in front of you too. And plug them into the plan finder and help guide a patient as to what looks like the most cost-effective plan for the following year. But it's difficult to do on your own if you don't know how to navigate. But at least knowing that you need to do something, I think, is one of the most important things at this time of year.
We've
like
had
you said,
a high cap on the show a
right,
number
right
of times.
That's what it was, right.
And they are very good at guiding people through the whole Medigap / Advantage
right,
or Part D situation, which I empathize for people who haven't really made the technology switch yet, because there's really no other way to do it.
Yeah,
you know, you can't just call up and talk to somebody for an hour and a half about the differences of the plans.
Right.
It's difficult, complicated.
Because there are so many. I mean, even now, if you ask me the differences between the plans, it's very hard to know the intricacies of it. You know, there's over 30 plans that are available. It's a lot of plans. It's not like it's one or two where you can make a quick comparison. And there's so many little intricacies of how you want to spend your money over the year.
Will a pharmacist go through that with you? Or not, they don't have the time,
it
really.
It depends. You know. It depends. I mean, I think that you could start with the pharmacist if you really had nowhere else to go. But I'm not sure that every pharmacist in the community is trained to really go through the website. They could help and give you some guidance, but it's not usually a service that the community pharmacies are offering. But you should start there. At the very least, you can get a list of your medications, a complete list of medications that you're on. You know, often when I meet patients, they'll know their maintenance medication, and then they'll say, well, you know, two times a year I wind up having a chest cold and I need an antibiotic. Do I need to put those on my list to choose my plan? You know, a pharmacist could at least help guide with some of those questions, because the answer would be no. Like, I wouldn't want to base a plan off of something you use two times a year as opposed to something you're using every single day.
What the plan projections, if you will, are based on what you do now. So 3 months from now, you get sick with something or other, and you wind up with another medication. Mm-hmm. That's a crapshoot. You really don't know what you're going to need
and what the plans
cover.
That's a really good point, and people are often concerned about that. So my advice to patients are, we have to be concerned with what you're on at the moment and choose a plan based off of now and not worry about what might be. If someone's really concerned about that, so when you're choosing a Part D plan, each plan is given a star rating. So plans that have a 5-star rating, you can change once throughout the course of the calendar year. So for example, when you choose a plan, you're really choosing to be in that plan all of 2020. Right. If you choose a plan that has a 5-star rating, you are able to make a switch out of that plan once from, you know, January 1st to the next open enrollment.
When you say a switch, one of your drugs can be switched or switched to a whole new plan?
No, you can switch to a whole new plan.
Oh, okay.
You can switch to a whole new plan. Now, of course, with those 5-star ratings, it's a little bit more expensive.
Right, okay.
So convenience always usually equates to a more expense. But if I had somebody that was really worried about that, I probably would guide them to say, if you're really worried, why don't you think about picking a plan that has a 5-star rating? So if you do have to switch, you have the opportunity.
How do you identify that the plan has a 5-star rating? Where do you see that?
So if you're using the plan finder, it will identify how many stars it has almost right up front on there, like, you know, their page that when you're looking at the plans. I know nobody can see my hand motions.
Right, right. Part
of the problem of...
But that's why you got to be computer savvy, because it's almost like going on Yelp.
Yeah.
You know, you'll have a star or a couple of stars.
What I find confusing about the Part D thing is, like, Medigap, for example, there's a plan N and a G and an F, and no matter what company, the plan has to follow those rules for that. I don't see that exists with the Part D drug thing. It's like you put in your drugs, and this is what they estimate your out-of-pocket cost will be. And I think one of the things people have to pay attention to, in my opinion, is just because it has a low premium, that's maybe not a good thing.
Right.
You know, you like John Arbuckle says, you get what you pay for.
Right.
So you have to be cautious, I think.
Yeah, you really do. Low cost does not mean that it's bad. Low cost does not mean it's better. What I usually guide people to is the overall out-of-pocket cost. Because to me, it's all about how they break up how you want to spend your money. Some people like to break it up evenly over the course of the year, pay a little bit more in a premium, but their drug costs are a little bit lower. Some people would rather have a very low premium and pay a little bit more each month at the pharmacy. So at the end of the day, my main number that I'm looking at is the one that says your estimated overall cost based on what you're, you know, looking at the moment for the next year.
Just go back a second, because I'm really not that familiar with it. You're going to pick one of these programs for Medicare D.
Right.
And I take 3 pills and Otto takes 2, so we're going to pick 2 different things. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to pay $60 a month out of my pocket, right?
So the out-of-pocket costs are your premium that you're paying the plan to be part of.
Right.
That's one part of out-of-pocket cost. And the other out-of-pocket cost is your copays at the pharmacy. And sometimes your copay, like some plans have deductibles, which is, you know, a certain number that you have to get to before your medications are covered a little bit better. And then the copays.
So if somebody does nothing, they actually won't have anything.
Correct.
You don't. This is not any sort of automatic enrollment. So if somebody doesn't understand, so you have to sign up and start paying the premium.
Yeah. The flip side of it is if you've been enrolled since last year, if you do nothing, they'll just re-enroll you. They'll just re-enroll you in a plan. Once you're in the system. Now you bring up something that I wanted to mention. Let's say you're on no medications, but you're 65 and over, and you have Medicare Part B and A. If you don't enroll in a Part D plan, you will have a penalty. So I know that there are people out there that say, "I don't take anything. I don't need a Part D plan." Well, the reason that you do need a Part D plan is because you get penalized a 1% of the premium every month that you were eligible for Part D and didn't take it. Hmm. I know that's confusing.
How do they collect that?
So they collect that when you finally decide you need Part D. Right. So let's say at 65.
If I croak before I get Part D, then I never have to pay.
Right. A is for hospital. B is for like your doctor's offices. Part C is kind of like a package. So if you have Part C, you're sort of giving up your A and B, and it's packaged in. And Part D is drugs,
right?
D for drugs. But the way they get you on that penalty is when you do sign up for Part D, they calculate it then, and that never goes away. The penalty never goes away. It's part of your premium for every single month you're paying your premium.
I'm not saying you understand why, but maybe you do. Why?
I think it was the government's way when Medicare came out to really ensure that patients were well covered and not increasing the overall healthcare costs. So it was like, if you don't do this, you'll have this penalty. And it just stuck. Okay. I'm not saying I agree with
it. No, I agree with that.
Because it's heartbreaking when patients
don't. So much of this stuff is confusing and people don't know. So then to put a penalty on top of something that you just didn't know.
Right, exactly. And that's definitely one of the things when people come to the table and I'm doing reviews and they're like, "I'm really not on anything," I encourage them to get the lowest cost plan with the lowest premium, so that way they're just saving themselves from a future penalty.
You know, one of the areas that I'm fiddling around with, which I have done numerous times, is this formulary business, all right, where when you're comparing plans, one of the major reasons you're comparing is you may have a blood pressure medicine with one company that's tier one, and with another company it's tier three.
Right.
And because of the higher number tier, it's going to cost you a lot more money with a given company than with another company.
Right.
And that to me becomes, that's where the comparing comes in, I would say.
It does. That's one of the multi-levels of details that you can compare.
Which
with
can
these
be
plans.
Overpowering
it's
to
very
people
overpowering.
Without help.
Exactly. I would say this is one of the reasons that having a pharmacist involved in the process is good, because we will know which drugs will be most cost effective and what plans are likely to cover them. Can't say it's guaranteed, but when I do my reviews and I'm using the plan finder, I'll also look at, you're on a blood pressure medication that tends to be a higher cost in most plans. I'll ask a patient if they are not opposed to switching. I can't make the switch as a pharmacist, but I can make the recommendation to their physician that, hey, if you change this blood pressure medication to something else in its class, your patient can get more cost savings.
Yeah, and I think no knock on doctors, but most doctors are not going to worry about what tier your pill is that they prescribe.
Right.
You know, they're going to prescribe a medication that they think is going to fix your problem.
Exactly.
And you really have to do a little homework on your own end and find out, well, this is a tier four drug.
Right.
Is there, which can cost you a lot of money.
Exactly.
And
I'll say I don't think many physicians understand the tiers and, what exactly that means.
Well, it doesn't affect them
personally. I mean, unless they're on their own medications or directly.
Or they're older, 65.
Right. But at some point, so part of my position at St. John's, I am a pharmacist. So I'm in a practice, a primary care practice where
I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay. I'll hold that thought.
Go to a break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88. 98.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.